Now, a quick tour around the country. We were mentioned Askamore in County Wexford yesterday, and we have Helen Carney, chairperson of Askamore Community Council, on the line. Hello, Helen.
Hi, Ray. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
It's great to talk to you. I looked at Askamore on Google Street View.
Okay, and what did you think?
Well, it's small enough, isn't it? It's sort of petite. Bijou.
Yeah, bijou. Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, we're a small community. Yeah. There's less than 800 people here.
Aha, right, okay. And Sister Act, we were talking about this yesterday. So what are your plans for St. Patrick's Day celebrations?
So basically, we've organised a virtual parade among ourselves here in the community. We asked local children to get involved.
Yeah.
To take whatever pets or farm animals they had right. and video themselves having their own St. Patrick's Day parade okay. in their gardens or yeah. out in the lanes around them. We've put them all together yeah. and then we've added in some dancing nuns.
That description is just brilliant. So gather up your pets and your farm animals and we're going to clip them all together and add in some dancing nuns. Who dreamt up that?
Well, I think I should add a disclaimer that none of us are actually nuns.
Yes, I know.
We're as far from nuns as you could probably get. But basically what happened is over the last couple of years here in Askamore, we've had a couple of fundraisers.
Yeah.
And in collaboration with our local school, Ballyallis National School, and our GA club, Kilrush Askamore, we've had fundraisers. So in every one, there has been a sister act group
yeah.
of sorts.
Okay.
So we had habits and it seemed a shame to waste the habits.
Okay.
So over the last year during the lockdown, we've tried to keep people's spirits up. So
yes.
the nuns have got the habits out and
right.
we have danced around the parish to try and showcase Askamore and the natural beauty that we have. The last one was a Jerusalem challenge a couple of weeks ago.
Brilliant.
To help raise awareness of a walkathon that our GA club was doing.
Right.
And then obviously we decided that we'd do something for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
But it felt a little bit rude just to have dancing nuns. So we thought, well, look, we better ask the children of the parish if they want to get involved as well.
So what are the dancing nuns dancing to?
We're Irish dancing in wellies.
Right.
In a calf shed.
Okay.
Just general, an Irish jig.
Okay.
Now, most of us have two left feet.
Yes. Yes.
So we're not the best Irish dancers in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you need any sort of dispensation from the church to wear habits and pretend to be nuns?
If you saw what we look like in our habits, Ray, you'd know that there is absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind that we're
real
nuns.
No real nuns here. Yeah, yeah. So that you've done that video already, have you? And it goes live tomorrow, or are you doing it live?
Yeah, no, we have done the video
yes,
already.
Great.
We needed to make sure that, you know, we weren't mobbed by paparazzi. So we've done the video already. Then one of our nuns has edited and added all of the other videos, the kids' videos,
right.
and we've put it all together to music. So that'll go live on our Facebook page and our Instagram page tomorrow.
Right, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, is it? Is that it? Yeah.
Well, we'll probably go a bit earlier.
A bit earlier than that, okay.
We want
okay.
to make sure that everybody sees it, right, you know?
Yes, yeah.
So we'll probably go live at lunchtime tomorrow. And it was just an idea to get kids involved.
Mm. It sounds great. You know, you don't sound like you're originally from Askamore, Helen.
No, I'm not. I'm a blow-in. Most of the nuns are blow-ins, actually.
Are they?
I'm
right.
here 15 years, so I have probably at least another 30 years before I'm yeah. called a local.
And for those people who are trying to locate Askamore on the map, it's sort of inland from Gorey.
Yeah, we're about 10, 15 minutes inland from Gorey.
Yes, that's where you are.
No, it's absolutely gorgeous. And
there's a lovely view there. It's sort of undulating hills, isn't there? There.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
We're so lucky down here. We have we're part of Wexford Walking Trails.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of walking trails up Slievewee Mountain, so you can see out as far as Camolin and the sea down us.
Right. Sounds idyllic.
River Chapel. Yeah. So it's
and on a clear
fantastic.
Day you'll see a number of dancing nuns in the distance.
We never know where you're going to find
quite
us.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Good luck with that. Where will people find you if they want to watch the video?
They'll find us on our Facebook page, which is Askamore Community Council, or on Instagram, it's askamore_Wexford.
Great. Thanks, Helen. Yeah. Happy St. Patrick's
so
Day. Great talking to you. Bye.
You
bye.
Too.
Bye.
Have a good one. Bye.
We go north now up to Clonus in County Monaghan, and we say good afternoon to Rory McMahon. How are you doing, Rory?
How are you doing, Ray? Thanks for having me on the programme.
Thank you. Now, you have a tradition in Clonus of getting ahead of the posse when it comes to St. Patrick's Day parades.
Absolutely, yeah. We do St. Patrick's Eve because we do a nighttime parade and we have lights and we do fireworks, and it kind of leaves us that we're not kind of competing against other towns the next day. So you kind of get the crowd first, you know.
Aha. And have you any idea where the tradition started, Rory?
Well, I'll tell you what it was. It started, I was on the committee that started it, because we were doing it during the day and we found sometimes to get floats, they were going here and they were going there. So we said, if we go the night before, well, sure, it's nearly a trial run for them, isn't it?
Yeah. So they can do ours and do the bigger town the next day.
Yeah, and if they make any mistakes, they don't see it in the dark, you know.
Right, okay. So 12th of March last year, Leo Varadkar announced that the schools were shutting, and then, of course, you know, St. Patrick's Day cancelled and all that. So you would have had your St. Patrick's Day parade, sorry, St. Patrick's Day Eve parade planned. So what happened then?
Well, we cancelled at last minute notice because it wasn't actually fully shut down. I think at the time we said, well, we can't run it.
Right.
So I sat here on St. Patrick's Day and I kind of went, oh, we can't get a goodbye without doing something. So myself and my daughter Emer took to taking the cars out from the car box and taking the little Lego men out from the Lego box, and we set up a treadmill and we put it on the slowest pace we could get, and we got a photograph of the diamond in Clonus, and I just spun them past. We literally done it in one go. My wife says don't mention her, she was beeping the horns for the cars, and it literally went, you couldn't believe it, Ray. The song ended just as the last thing went over the line, and it got 20,000 views and people just enjoyed it. It was a bit of crack.
Right.
But this year then we said we're going to step it up a gear and do it properly.
Yeah. So how long has this taken you, and how long is it?
It's about 20 minutes long.
Right.
I'm at it for probably in the region of 2 months, building little floats and little signs and trying to come up with this business. What could I put on a little float for that business, and what could I put on for this business? And we built little tools for a tool shop and bars for bars, and there's all sorts of little things on floats coming and going. So I've been at that. Then my nephew, Matthew Macklin, he joined in about 3.5 weeks ago, and then we had two local sign people, Stevie Toy and Harry Cleary, done little logo signs to put on them. And we put it all together and we started filming then. And it was purely a last day or two, all the sound effects and all the different things went in, because we had the challenge of it, we always put up fireworks. So we went, oh, maybe we'll not bother. And I said, no, we can't not bother. That's part of the parade. People come out for the fireworks. Right. So we've done that as well.
You've done the fireworks as well in stop frame animation. Is that how you
do? No. We had to get very inventive.
Right.
So I had to take the whole set apart, bring it down into my sitting room, and all I can see is there was a table in front of my telly, a camera,
and
our fireworks on a 75-inch telly.
Right.
But it works.
You have a 75-inch telly. Woo, woo.
Yeah, well, I only bought it a while ago because I said we're all locked in here. I might as well buy a cinema, you know.
You could climb into that. You could play with the Premiership teams.
Well, you know, we needed it because the time we moved the camera back, I said, geez, a good job I hadn't got the small telly there because it wouldn't work.
So it's 20 minutes long. It's all stop frame animation. Like one piece in particular, which features a dressed up St. Patrick. It's not the original St. Patrick. How long did that take?
That little piece on the street that you'll see at the very near the start of it took nearly an hour and a half to film, and then you have to edit after that and put the sound effects in and everything else. So there's a few hours involved just in that little piece, you know.
And then Pat McCabe does the honours on emceeing the whole thing.
Yeah, Pat always does that. Pat's me man at Christmas and Pat's me man at all these things. So he does our voiceover for that very well. And I kind of let him at it. I says, these are all Lego people, but you just imagine now who would be on that float, and you give him a name and you sort it out, you know.
So this is a bit of Pat's. You sent us down a sneak preview because it's not going to go live until 7 o'clock this evening and people have to wait. But you sent us down 30 seconds or so. So this is a snippet of Pat McCabe doing the emceeing for the Clonus virtual parade, which happens this evening.
Okay, folks, you're all very welcome here to the Diamond here on this lovely St. Patrick's Eve evening. I want to thank everybody for coming out in such large numbers here today. Ah, look who it is. The ever reliable, the one and only, Hail Glorious St. Patrick, a.k.a. Dominic Cleary. Well done, Dominic. You never let us down.
I'm there. I'm actually there. And there's no visuals even with that.
Funny is there's another person seeing a bit of the clip and went, you know, it's better than the real thing, you know?
Yeah. You'll have to do it every year now.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
It's what I've seen. I'm definitely, we're going to watch it in our house tonight. Definitely going to. So how can people watch it? Clonus Notice Boards and YouTube.
Clonus Notice Boards Facebook page. We're also Clonus Notice Boards on Instagram, Clonus Notice Boards on Twitter. The link's up there everywhere, and lots of other people have shared it around today and that. So if you want, I'll send it on to you. If you put it up on your page there, people
we'd love to. And listen, well done. From the 35 seconds I've seen, it is amazing. So congratulations. And I think it's going to brighten up people's worlds. And it's going to get us ready for our National Day, which is tomorrow. Rory McMahon from Clonus, congratulations to everyone involved there. Thank you, Rory. See you. Bye. Bye.
Cheers. Thank you.
To Dunboyne we go now. Monica Hannigan. How are you doing, Monica?
Hello, Ray. Lovely to be on with you.
Yeah, great to have you. You're a member of the Dunboyne Yarn Bombers.
That's right.
Right. Okay. I'm looking at the word yarn, so it suggests something around knitting. Am I right?
That's right.
Yes. Okay. I know this because I've seen the pictures. Dunboyne is now festooned in all sorts of pom-poms and bunting, and the trees and bollards are wrapped in. What do you describe those things as that are around the trees and the bollards?
They're called, literally called tree wraps.
Oh, tree wraps and bollard wraps. And bollard wraps.
Yeah, and wraps, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about the Dunboyne Yarn Bombers first.
Well, it's a brainchild of a lady called Suzanne Milligan. She's a GP. She doesn't practice in Dunboyne, but she lives in Dunboyne. So she should really be here with me because it was her brainchild. Okay. And she's probably the best knitter in Ireland. And she came to me last year because I'd be good on social media and a lot of people would know me in the village. So she said to me, Monica, will we try and do something? Will we try and do some yarn bonding? So I said, fine. So when they announced the lockdown just after Christmas, we kind of said, right, this is it, we're going to do it, and we'll aim for St. Patrick's Day. And we set up a Facebook page, and we got a lot of people engaging straight away. We had, I suppose, 70 likes on the page, people engaging, but we have a core of about 25 knitters at the moment.
Right.
And we measured the trees and we measured the circumference of the bark and we measured the bollards and we took dimensions for everybody, and everybody took ownership then on a tree or a bollard. And so I think we did nearly 30 bollards, 30, 35 trees.
A lot of work, Monica.
Yeah. A lot of work. Well, I was knitting. I mean, I'm not just saying me because I know all of them.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, the 25 ladies. Like, I would say I was knitting every night for 4 hours since Christmas.
Right.
You know.
Did you take up the knitting or have you been doing it for a long time?
No, my knitting now would be a little bit now, you know, it would be a bit hit and miss compared to some of the professionals in the group. But to be honest with you, you don't have to be a professional because, you know, it's wrapped around the tree and they're decorated with, you know, shamrocks and flowers and everything. So, you know, you don't have to be a fantastic knitter. I used to knit when I was young. My mum taught me. And like what a lot of the ladies probably have done it over the years. So it was really lovely to get back to it.
Yeah, and it's, I see Jenny doing it at home. It's sort of nearly meditative and it's very relaxing.
Well, it's addictive and meditative. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah, congratulations. Have you counted the number of pieces between bits of bunting and pom-poms?
Oh, I'd say
and
there's
wrappings.
Hundreds. I mean, it's quite spectacular because in the village in Dunboyne, we have this island, you know, we call it the island and, you know, it's called the Jesus statue. The Jesus statue's on the island. And we had a massive big tree there for years, which was cut down last year because it was poisonous. It had some sort of a virus in it, and it was a little bit disappointing for everybody because it was very much part of
a centerpiece,
the community.
Yeah.
So we decided we do the island. So the whole island in the middle of the village has been done,
and it looks brilliant. It's full of daffodils.
Full of daffodils as well. Yeah,
and then all of your hard work. From tree to tree.
We have St. Patrick. We have snakes. We have parachutes, we have hot air balloons, we've butterflies, we've bunting, flags, everything.
What's the reaction been from people in Dunboyne?
To be honest with you, you know, it's been, I feel like I'm actually tired listening to my own voice at this stage. You know, it's been absolutely fantastic. I'm so delighted for everybody in Dunboyne and for everybody that contributed and put the time in, because it's really after causing an amazing joy happiness.
Yeah.
And people are just really appreciative, and I think it's just been great because we would always normally have a parade, and obviously we didn't have one last year. year and then we don't have one this year. So, you know, at least maybe families will come down to the village tomorrow and have a little look at it, I mean, and take some photographs and feel like they're, you know, they're engaging in something to do with St. Patrick's Day, you know.
I can hear just from you talking to you that it's given the whole community a lift.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're delighted. I mean, it's ridiculous. The Facebook page has been going mad. I've been on RT had a thing put up, you know, they put us all up on the social media.
Yes,
You know, and we've had LMFM rang me this morning.
Right.
Yeah. Great, so
great.
It's been fantastic. All,
now RT, LMFM. Probably.
Well, you're the best. You know, Ray, we always save the best to last.
Yeah, go on.
I couldn't believe it. I shook from head to toe when they rang me this morning and said that you wanted to talk to me.
You're going out of that now. I'm getting embarrassed. Monica Hannigan, well done to you and the Dunboyne Yarn Bombers. And
no bother.
Enjoy St. Patrick's Day.
And
good
happy
luck.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to
see
everybody.
You. Bye, bye, bye. Bit of a Donnan there and Irish Molly. Aisling here, just baking a Paddy's Day carrot cake, helped by my mam Sandra, and it's just fallen off the tin. Help. Oh no, I hate that. Sending Patrick's Day love and wishes to our brother, Father Adrian Egan in Ballyfermot Parish from all his family in Limerick. It won't be long now. And Askamore is just above Cranford, where Ed Sheeran's granny is from. Ah, I didn't know that. There you go. Thanks for that. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
A huge part of Ireland's relationship with the United States of America is all the ritual and ceremony around St. Patrick's Day. This year, it's gone virtual. But a couple of things have remained the same. And one of those is the crystal bowl that will be presented to the new president of the United States of America, Joe Biden. And we have Eamon Terry, master craftsman at Crystal and Arena, on the line. The man who made the bowl that the president will be looking at tomorrow when he talks to Micheál Martin virtually. How are you doing, Eamon?
Good afternoon, Ray.
Congratulations again.
Thank you very much.
It's a big... Is this your second or third? Second?
It's the second. It's
second
the second one.
One,
yes.
Okay. So we spoke to you back in 2017 when you made the bowl that was presented to Donald Trump.
Yes.
Right. Who'd be your favourite now, Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Or are you not political?
I can't say. Yeah. I mean, the bowl is really made for the office of the president.
Of course, of course, of course. Not for an individual.
But it's a great honour to be asked to make the bowl in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you can't give too much away, I believe.
No.
But you know that it will be on the desk in front of Joe Biden tomorrow.
Yes, it's a virtual presentation tomorrow. Sadly, Micheál Martin won't be there in person to hand it over, so it's all been done over Zoom or some sort of a thing like that.
Okay. But, and when did you find out that you got the commission?
About 2 weeks ago.
No way!
Yep. No pressure.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, yeah. Yeah.
And then,
I had a week to produce the bowl and finish it.
And do you get design? Do you get a detailed design?
What happens is that in January, usually in January, the government send out expressions of interest of anybody, all the crystal companies, to submit a design and a theme for the bowl. But I had been working on the theme in my head and drawings and sketches and things way before Christmas. So it was just to make the bowl then, really.
And can you tell us what the theme is, even?
No, I'm sorry.
You can't.
Well, the embargo is until the bowl is presented to the president. It's supposed to be a surprise.
Yes.
So the theme and the design, and it should probably be explained to him.
Right. But we know it's a bowl, and we know it's crystal, and we know it's probably the same size as previous bowls.
Yes, it is. There's a standard size. It has to be 9 inches. It has to be made of crystal, and it has to be made in Ireland.
Right. Okay. When we spoke to you before, you originally worked in Waterford Glass, and like a lot of your colleagues, were made redundant when that closed down. How many of you went into business continued with the craft?
Well, I actually left before the company closed. I was gone a long time before that because I always wanted to move out and do things on my own. So I left actually in 1987.
Okay,
and I've been working on my own since. And I kind of take a different twist on designing of crystal. There aren't that many people that have stayed with it, I suppose. It depends. If you come out of a factory environment, maybe if you're made redundant, it may not be what you want to go to start again.
Yes, yeah.
Whereas I left the company wanting to create and make
your own stuff.
Yes.
Have you seen Blown Away on Netflix?
Sorry?
Have you seen Blown Away on Netflix? No.
I have.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing, yeah.
Yes.
It is.
Just for people who haven't watched it, it's sort of a reality game show type thing, but instead of baking or making pottery, they're blowing glass.
They're blowing glass.
Yes.
Yeah. You are working with a fragile substance, so no matter what you're doing, even if you're cutting pieces of crystal, you can always be just doing the last thing and...
smash.
It can crack.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that bothers you, you're in the wrong business.
How much would this piece of crystal now that we'll see tomorrow, be, or maybe pictures in the paper on Thursday, how much would it be worth? Or is there a price on it?
I don't know. I can't put a price on it. I mean, you don't do it for the honour of the value of it.
Yes.
It's the honour of making it. You don't really make anything on it, but the publicity that you gain from making something like this is priceless.
And I suppose the fact that Joe Biden has this very special relationship with Ireland, that makes it extra special.
It does. And hopefully he will visit Ireland in the near future. And that will be good for Ireland as well. I think he'll be good for Ireland.
Yeah. Do you make a replica? Or?
Yeah, when I make something, I always make a backup just in case. Even like the bowl was made, it was intact. I shipped it. You don't know what's going to happen between here and the United States.
Yes.
Thankfully, it arrived in one piece. So I have a replica, and I have a replica of the original one as well. So over in the last 4 years, the amount of people that would have come through the showroom here and looked at the bowl, supporters of President Trump and people that weren't supporters, but they all wanted the photograph taken with the bowl.
Yes.
hopefully in the future, like we'll have the second bowl will be here and people can come in and have a look and see.
And do you name the bowls? No.
I mean, there is an inscription on the front of the bowl.
Yeah, and is the inscription different this time? Obviously, Joe Biden.
It just changes the name of the president and the name of the Taoiseach. They're probably the only two changes that are on the bowl.
Is it from us, the people of Ireland?
Yes, it's presented. Yeah, it's beyond. You actually own a little bit of it, right?
Great.
It's from the people of Ireland. Yes.
Aha.
And the president
and Micheál Martin.
Micheál Martin presents it, but it's really on behalf of the people of Ireland.
Right.
He's presenting it on behalf of the people of Ireland.
Right. In it will be Shamrock, James O'Leary is the man. His company. Grow the Shamrock that will feature in your bowl when we see it in the coming days.
The photographs that you'll probably see in the press release, it's the same shamrock because we use the same shamrock in the bowl for photographing the bowl here.
Aha. James is on the line. How are you doing, James?
I'm good, and you, Ray?
Good to talk to you again. Congratulations, your shamrock will feature in the White House. How many years is it now?
We'd be supplying around 30 years.
Right. 30 years. I'm just looking there. Probably George H.W. Bush, first one. That's in senior. Then Bill Clinton. Then George W. Bush Jr., Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and now Joe Biden.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah. Something to be proud of, you know.
Tell us, so it's grown down in Ballinskellig.
It's grown down in Cool's greenhouse in Ballinskellig. And there's a team below there. There's Joe Shukran and his son Kian and Marie. And they all do a wonderful job growing it and looking after it, you know.
Yeah, and would they be as exact as to measure the dimensions of the leaf? You know, is there a sort of a standard size shamrock that you aspire to?
There would be. No, it wouldn't be down to the dimensions of the leaf, but there'd be. You've heard the term, a nice sprig of shamrock.
Yes, I have. Yes,
and we've said there's a variation then where some like it just a bit more flush and a bit bigger, and more people would like it a bit on the smaller side. But yeah, there is a certain size that we would like them to be at. Yeah.
Now getting your shamrock in the White House, very glamorous, like on a global scale.
Indeed,
you're involved in something a little bit, should I describe it, a little bit more mundane this year, but very exciting. I'm looking at a jar of mayonnaise in front of me here. Right, James. Eamon, I'll send it down to you because they're limited edition. It's Heinz Seriously Good Shamrock Mayo. Happy St. Patrick's Day. How did this come about?
Heinz approached us, I'd say sometime around November that way, you know, and they had this concept that they'd like to produce a shamrock-flavoured mayonnaise.
Right.
And would we be able to supply them with the shamrock so they could extract the liquid flavouring from the plant.
Okay.
You know, so we supplied them in early December, and they worked on it, and they were very happy with the results, and they decided then they'd proceed ahead and they'd produce their shamrock flavoured mayonnaise for St. Patrick's Day this year.
It looks, just so people know what it looks like, it looks like a wasabi mayonnaise, you know, the same colouring as that. Wasabi, you know wasabi?
Yeah.
It has that same colour. Have you tasted shamrock on its own? Have you actually eaten shamrock?
I have.
Right, go on.
I'm going to tell you a humorous one, right?
Right, go on.
Was that? I was sitting at home having lunch today.
Right.
And it was lovely, actually. It was outdoors. The sun was shining, you know?
Yeah.
And I had a pot of shamrock on the table. And I was saying, you know, I better chew a bit of this, you know, and get an idea of really... No, I have tasted it before, right? But just to refresh my mind again of what it tastes like.
Now, yeah.
I was afraid anybody would look at me because they'd be afraid I'd get locked up, you know? But anyway. Okay, the taste could have a mild taste. Okay, to be sweet. And if I was to put a connected taste with it, would be kind of garden peas.
Ah, yeah, garden peas, yeah.
Yeah, that would be the aftertaste that you'd be left with.
Okay, I've a bit of bread here now. I'm just going to dip it into the shamrock mayonnaise. Yeah, slightly pea.
There you go.
This is brilliant, though. This is brilliant because they've only produced, Eamon, they've only produced 75 jars of this, and they're giving it away on social media. And it might take off, James.
Well, I'd be hopeful.
Yeah. Well, you'd be hopeful is right, wouldn't you? You've been the main shamrock producer in the country. Yeah. Have you two met, seeing as you're so involved in St. Patrick's Day every year, the bowl and the shamrock? Have you ever met?
No.
Right, okay.
No, but
through email.
Good to meet you live on radio.
Yeah. Well, maybe you might meet at some stage in the future.
It's two Gaeltachts meeting together in the White House.
Oh, yeah, because you're down in Rinn and Ballinaskellig's. Yeah, there you go.
That's a first.
Yeah, that's lovely, isn't it?
And I think, isn't it really unique, Ray, that, you know, that both the shamrock and the bowl is coming from areas where the people are so fluent with the Gaelic and with the native language, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's fitting. Really it's entrenching fitting. It in yeah. Irishness, isn't it?
It is fitting. Okay. So there, when you're looking at the pictures, whenever they appear in the papers of Joe Biden with the bowl and the shamrock, there's the two men with their teams who are responsible. Eamon Terry, Master Craftsman at Crystal and Arena, the bowl, and then James O'Leary, shamrock grower for the shamrock. Happy St. Patrick's Day, gentlemen.
No, look.
And the same to you, Ray.
Thank you very much. Thanks. See you.
Thank you very much, Ray. Thanks.
Bye now. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I don't know if you knew this, but today is National Flag Day. It's an initiative of the Thomas F. Maher Foundation. And one of the ambassadors for National Flag Day is Paddy Bonner, who's on the line now. How are you doing, Paddy?
Afternoon, Ray. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you. So you're over in Scotland, are you?
I do. Yes, I live. Listen, I've been here over 40 years now. Would you believe it? Amazing here in Glasgow. Married to a Glasgow lady. My kids are all here. So I'm afraid I'm... Well, could I say caught in Glasgow?
Well, you've been over there more than you lived here.
Well, yeah, listen, I went away when I was 18 over to Celtic, and I was there for 17 years and then went down to England for a little while. Went over, obviously worked in Dublin for a while as technical director, but always had the base here, so that's where I am.
I suppose as an Irish man living abroad, the Irish flag probably means more to you, does it?
Well, I can't say that for the people living in Ireland, but it certainly means a hell of a lot, and it does, I suppose. You know, when I went away from home, I must say that I probably became more Irish than when I was at home, because you miss home, you miss your friends, you miss your family, you miss everything about Ireland, and you can almost kind of go into it in a bigger way, playing the Irish songs and doing all of those things that probably I wouldn't have done maybe when I was at home.
Yeah.
And the flag does mean a lot, because it's an unbelievable symbol for all of us who are abroad and everybody back in Ireland, I hope, at this stage.
And of course, all of those amazing memories that you must have emblazoned in your brain from Italia 90, etc. there's loads of hundreds of Irish flags in those images, isn't there?
Yeah, and you know, the national anthem was huge for us too, you know, when we walked out onto that pitch, and then we all turned, as you know, if you look back at the old footage, we all turned to the flag when that national anthem was playing, and that was a symbol, and it did hugely mean. But you know, the funny thing about it was, probably only that when I joined this sort of foundation group, this committee, that I really found out what the true meaning of the flag was and how it developed and so on. And it was an eye opener for me, to be honest, because while you know I was very Irish, very very national in many ways, but I didn't really know that the humble beginnings of it.
Yeah, so Thomas F. Marr was the first man to fly the tricolour down in Waterford. The significance of the colours, and you've been in Scotland as well, like it is, it's significant up there as well, isn't it?
It is, obviously, the green, white and orange, as you say, the coming together, the whole peace and reconciliation and bringing people together and cultures. Yeah, living in Glasgow, as you can well imagine, over the years, from my perspective, you know, it was never an issue for me, to be honest, because, you know, I grew up in Donegal and we had this sort of kind of an open house in Donegal. My mum and dad, they had bed and breakfast. We were right on the sea there. So that was the way of probably earning a living. Mm. And people from all creeds and all walks of life came through our house. And, you know, a lot of them remained big friends with the family. And even in the area that I live down there, a lot of people from Northern Ireland would have a lot of holiday homes, a lot of Protestant people came down and so on, and we all became great friends. So it was never a big thing for me, and going to Glasgow then was a bit of an eye-opener when I realised what was going on over here. But, you know, my wife is, she's a Protestant girl, and it was never an issue for us.
So the flag is sort of, it's a statement of anti-sectarianism, really, isn't it?
Say it again.
It's
the flag.
The flag's the statement of inclusivity. You know, we're all in it together.
Of course, it is. Inclusivity and the integration of cultures and people and different creeds and so on. And certainly, I think that's the education that I like to sort of focus on. You know, some other people might have different connotations of the flag, but that's what the true meaning is, and that's what we want to try and probably get that message out and educate the young kids who are in our schools, and that's what Flag Day is all really about.
Yeah, so schools around the country, secondary schools, would have been flying the flag today. There was also a competition, and Gracie, a girl called Gracie Friel from Scullwer and Buncrana, your own county, won. And I'm just looking at Gracie's picture
lovely,
there.
Isn't it?
It's really lovely. It's really lovely because it you know, the flag features as a face mask, and there's a residential care nurse minding an elderly man, and her face mask is the tricolour. That's lovely. So well done to Gracie Friel.
Beautiful,
on winning that. Yeah. So do you miss? When's the last time you've been back in Donegal, Paddy?
Oh, I was back last July. I went over for 3 weeks, and I had a chance to sort of isolate out in a little island that my brother's got a house out on it. And
nice.
I went out there, and I kind of, my wife didn't go over with me because of the issues around COVID, but I wanted to go and see everybody, and I isolated for them 2 weeks, and it was lovely actually on my own, because it was just a change of scenery.
You were on your own. You were completely.
I was on my own out, and I even had the big fire on and the house, and right. Even though it was July, and I had to do that, and then obviously going out walking on the beach,
right.
And just that, and it was brilliant. It's an island where you can drive onto, which is nice. So,
right.
but if once it's sea comes in, you're cut off.
But listen, Paddy Bonner, I'm running out of time now, but I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you, sit you down at some stage and talk to you about your 3 weeks alone on an island. I'd love to talk to you about that. So we'll do that in the future. That's a date. But for the moment, National Flag Day, initiative of Thomas F. Maher Foundation, and telling us about it today was Paddy Bonner. Thanks, Paddy. See you now. Bye now. Bye. Back to Studio 8 now to Sharon Shannon. How are you doing, Sharon? Hello there. You're having the crack over there. I want to go over there. Right, continue the session there and bring us up to the note when you're ready. Sharon Shannon, Jim and Jack, go for it.
Okay.
Now, Terry McCoy is a man we spoke to on the show last May. Terry is a chef and a forager, and he's a keen interest. He has a keen interest in St. Patrick. It's an interest that was piqued when he was looking over at St. Patrick's Island off the coast of Skerries. And Terry is on the line now. How are you doing, Terry?
Hello, Ray. How are you? And happy St. Patrick's Week to you.
Yeah, I'm looking at your book here, St. Patrick's Plate, Food Inspired by the Saint and His Saga, by Terry McCoy. So is that what the island's called, or did I just make that
up? Well, we know it here as Church Island or Patrick's Island,
Okay, okay. And what's the story then about that island and St. Patrick?
Well, when Patrick came back to Ireland to Christianise us, he came paddling across the Irish Sea, and he did the first landfall. He landed on Church Island off Skerries, and he set up his camp there, and he had one little companion with him, a little goat. And he could milk the goat and make a little cheese and sustain himself. So one day he went paddling off south of here towards Donabate to Christianise those people. So when the locals saw he was gone, they were watching, and they saw he was gone, they went out, raided the island, and took what they could, but they found the little goat.
Right.
Took it ashore here to Skerries and killed it and ate it. So Patrick was very upset, so he put a curse on all the Skerries men that their sons would bleat like goats and all their daughters would grow beards. So we've been trying to suck up to St. Patrick ever since that lifted.
It doesn't sound like the compassionate St. Patrick that I was taught about in school.
He has forgiven us.
So he would have fended for himself then out in the island. So in your imagination, what might he have cooked? Give us an idea.
Well, that was the kind of curiosity for me.
Yeah.
So he was of Roman stock. So he would have had some provisions with him, a store locker, but he would have had to forage along the shore, and he could have got seaweed there. And there's quite a lot of edible seaweed in Ireland, although we're not very familiar with it, but we should be, but we're not. And he could have done that, and he would have had periwinkles and cockles and mussels, like the song goes. So he could have sustained himself. And, of course, he was on a very healthy diet, which gave him huge energy and allowed him to traverse Ireland from one parish to the next, converting people. And
and he lived to a good age.
He did, yes, to, I believe, 75, which is my age now.
Right, and that would have been very old for back then.
Ah, yes, it would have, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So would he have been able now, over on the island opposite Skerries, would he have been able to cook up, say, chowder or something like that?
Yes, he would have, because he would have had limited pots.
Right.
So, and he wouldn't have been, like all men, very keen on doing washing up. So, he would have been able to put cockles and mussels and whatever vegetables he could forage for around at the time and cook it all up. Now, of course, chowder is really an American or Canadian creation, but we just like to put into a seafood stew. So it's very easy to cook, and it's on page 44 of my book.
St. Patrick's Plate, food inspired by the saint in the saga, Terry McCoy. And people can see you as part of the St. Patrick's Festival TV tomorrow. If you go to stpatricksfestival.ie, the St. Patrick Show is on at 3 o'clock tomorrow. stpatricksfestival.ie, the St. Patrick Show.
What's developed, Ray, from this is that we've cooperated with the St. Patrick's Centre in Downpatrick.
Right.
And we've been able to create a show there with a view that when the pandemic finishes, people will be able to go up there, eat three dishes off the recipes in the book, and see an all singing and dancing show, which has been created specially for the St. Patrick's Centre. And it will be premiered, a copy of the show will be premiered on St. Patrick's Evening on the site you've just mentioned.
And Terry, when all this is over, you'll come in, you'll cook us up something that St. Patrick might have eaten.
I certainly will.
Enjoy tomorrow. Thanks, Terry.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Ray.
Bye.